Let's just still our hearts, please, in a word of opening prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come into thy presence this morning, grateful and thankful that we come to the one who is unchanging. O God, we live in a world of constant change. O God, we rejoice that we lift our hearts to thee this morning, to the unchangeable God of heaven and earth. And Lord, we thank thee today for the opportunity to worship thee. We thank the Lord that we can gather publicly to worship thee this morning. And we pray, Lord, you'll help us. We pray, Lord, you'll aid us. Come and strengthen us today. May we know in a very real way that God is here and that to bless us. So hear and answer prayer. Be with us now. Give us help to worship thee. Lord, as we sing thy praise, as we come around the word of God, may thy presence be felt. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hymn number 78. This is the Christmas season. It has officially started, so we are going to sing carols from here on in. Hymn number 78, if you have a copy of our church hymn book, if not, the words will be there on the screen. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. We'll keep our seats as we sing this opening hymn, please. Can I ask you if you can stand with me, please, for a word of opening prayer, if you're able to? If not, then just please remain seated. But just to change our position, we'll stand for a word of opening prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee this morning for this time of the year that we can remember the coming into this world of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, that he was born in Bethlehem's manger. But, O God, we thank thee that He became that man. He grew into that man. And we thank the Lord for that man who went to Calvary, went to the cross and there to die for our sin. We rejoice, O God, this morning that we come to worship not a babe in a manger, not one on a cross, but Lord, we come to worship the King of heaven, the one who is seated upon his throne. And Heavenly Father, we rejoice this morning for the wonderful access and privilege that is ours to come before thee and to unite our hearts together in praise unto thy great name. Our Father, we pray to be pleased to bless us this morning. We ask, O God, you'll draw very near to all of our hearts today. May we know in a very real way that God is here and that to bless us. O God, we just pray you'll bless every waiting heart. We pray, Lord, you'll come, minister to us today. May we know the blessing of God. May we know the infilling of God, the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray for each one that know and love thee as Savior. We pray, Lord, that you'd be pleased to speak to every heart. Lord, in these difficult and strange times that we're living in, we just pray that thy word will come with comfort and encouragement to us this morning, we pray. And for those who are not yet saved, Lord, we pray that this will be the day when they will come by faith and trust thee to be their Savior. May they just cry unto thee. Lord, we thank thee today for that wonderful promise that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that even this Lord's day that you would be pleased to come and visit us with salvation. And Lord, visit us with revival. Heavenly Father, we need thee. Come, O God, we pray. Pour out your blessing upon us. Lord, we acknowledge the hand of God in judgment and wrath upon us. We acknowledge, O God, that we and our nation have sinned. But, O God, be merciful to us, we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you be pleased to show us grace. Heavenly Father, we pray that you be pleased to remove all of these restrictions and issues from us. O God, we pray. Turn, Lord, the hearts of those in government away, Lord, from their own carnal, Lord, ideas. And Lord, turn them to the things of God, we ask. And Heavenly Father, we pray for a move of God. Oh, Heavenly Father, we look to thee. We can't look to none other. Heavenly Father, we just cry unto thee today that you be pleased to come. And Lord, step into our situation. Remember, Lord, those who are unwell this morning. Remember, Lord, and those in our own congregation who need that special touch from thee. Remember especially, Lord, those who are in hospital this morning. We pray, Lord, you'll draw very near to them. Remember Mary McLaughlin today. Lord, touch her and strengthen her. Remember Brian today. We ask, O God, that you'll draw very near to Brian and heal him, Lord, and restore him to that desired measure of health and strength. Remember our sister Mary Anderson as well. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you'll touch these, thy dear servants at this time of their need. And Lord, for others in the congregation who are shut in and, Lord, not able to gather with us, we pray, Lord, you'll minister to them and be with them, O God, we pray. Remember, Lord, all those who are battling this virus and other illnesses as well at this time. Lord, heal them, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray through it all, may thy name be honored and glorified. Our Father, we look to thee today. We ask, O God, that you be pleased to come. Bless us today. Lord, bless the word that has already gone forth to the boys and girls in the Sunday school. And Lord, to the young people in the Bible class. Remember the word that will go forth in Hollywood this afternoon. Lord, we pray you'll come. And Lord, save the young people. Lord, save the little ones. And Lord, lead them on with thyself, O God, we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray you'll remember us for good just now and glorify thy name. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Can I ask you please to turn with me in the Word of God this morning to the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel and the chapter 1. Luke's Gospel chapter 1, please. And we are continuing looking at the various fear nots of Christmas. We started this last Lord's Day morning and want to look at another one this morning and, God willing, another one next Lord's Day. We looked at the fear not of difficulty and how the Lord came to Joseph in a time of difficulty. And now we're going to look at a time when the Lord came and spoke to Mary and the fear not of disbelief. So we'll read from verse number 26, please, Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and the verse number 26. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and the verse 26.
And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, and she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Let me welcome you all in the Savior's name. We are glad to see you all gathered in God's house this morning. Glad to have you back in the house of God. It was quiet, it was lonely here for these past 2 weeks, but we're glad that we're able to meet back again this morning in the house of God. And thank you for your faithfulness and for your attendance in the house of God this morning. And also to those who are watching online, we welcome you wherever you're watching from. We pray the Lord will bless you as well. Do remember that today is Missionary Council retiring offering, the second Lord's Day of the month, Missionary Council retiring offering. And so please do remember that. The box is there, and all the money put in that box will go to support the work of the Missionary Council. And then this evening, we invite you back at 6:30 for our time of Christmas praise. We are having a few coming along to take part this evening. Raymond and Mark Williamson will be along, and they were here a few months back. We thoroughly enjoyed their ministry on the accordion and the keyboard. They'll be back with us this evening in the will of God. And also our sister Judith Beattie will be here to sing as well. And so I trust you'll come, bring others with you, if at all possible, and we'd love to see you in God's house again this evening for this special service of Christmas praise at 6:30. And I'll be preaching on the subject of the Christmas choir. Tuesday is the final Online Explorers Club at 7 o'clock for this year. Most of the Explorers Clubs, sadly, this year have been online, and this will be the final one for 2020. The Reverend Joshua Moffat will be the guest speaker this Tuesday evening, and he'll be coming to bring the final message this Tuesday night. So we trust you'll all join in, tune in by Facebook Live for that final Online Explorers Club at 7 p.m. Thursday evening, 8 o'clock, our Bible study and season of prayer will be here in the church as normal at 8 o'clock. And one of our elders, our brother Mr. Ian McVeigh, will be speaking on Thursday evening. We're thankful for those who've helped us over these past number of weeks. We're out delivering the hampers and doing the Santa sleigh runs and all that, and very thankful for those who've been willing to help on the Thursday nights and take off a little of the workload. So thank you to Adam, and we look forward to hearing our brother Ian as well this Thursday night. So come along, 8 o'clock, for that time of study and season of prayer. Next Sunday, it's 10:15, the final Sunday school and Bible class for the year. And then we have our morning worship service at 11:30. And one of our own will be singing next Sunday morning, our brother Billy Henderson will be singing for us next Sunday morning. So you want to come and hear Billy singing in the first of the carol services next Sunday morning. Also, we'll be handing out the Legal Church Loyalty, slightly delayed this year with everything that's going on, but we'll be giving out the prizes to the young ones who have been so faithful in their coming to church week after week. So that those prizes will be given out next Sunday morning. Then at 2:30, we have the final Sunday school over in Hollywood as well next Sunday afternoon. And then we have the second of our carol services at 6:30 next Sunday evening, and we encourage you to come along as well to that. Our brother Peter Mander will be along to sing for us, and again, one of our own will be taking part as well. Our brother Samuel Crawford, will be testifying for us. He can sing as well if he really wishes. He's not giving me any reaction up there, but he'll be testifying anyway next Sunday evening at 6:30. Do you remember those especially who are in hospital at this time? Do you remember Sister Mary McLaughlin is still in hospital? And do you remember Mary in your prayers? Do you remember our brother Brian? Brian McKee was taken into hospital this past week to pray for Brian at this time, and also Sister Mary Anderson was taken into hospital just on Friday evening. And so do remember all of these dear folks in your prayers. Pray the Lord will be with them. Very difficult, very, very difficult to be in hospital at any time, but particularly now when you really are not allowed to visit, one visit per week, and that makes it a very long day and a very long week. So do remember these folks in your prayers, please. The church calendars, and I don't think I have any here, no, but the church calendars that we had got just before we went into the last lockdown a few weeks ago, they are available today. They're all free, and we encourage you to take as many as possible with you. This is a means whereby you can reach out to your own neighbours, your own friends, and give them a church calendar, and there's a scripture text on them as well. So we encourage you, take handfuls, as many handfuls as you wish. There's plenty there for everybody. They're all free. They are in the hallway as you leave, and also at the bottom of the stairs as well. So please take as many as you can with you. With all the restrictions at the moment, it'll be difficult to hand them out. So if you can do that for us and help us with that, then that would certainly be appreciated. There is a new devotional book that has been brought out by the Reverend David Park, entitled 100 Days of Lockdown. He did various video recordings through the times of lockdown, and they have been put into book form, and all of the money is going to the orphans in India, a new project that the Mission Board has come up with and has been associated with. Now, I'm just looking here at the price. It's not the price that's in here, but the price here is $14.99. It is £10. I thought that. Thank you, Richard. Thank you. So that's good. Price is £10. There you go. You would be getting it normally for £15. If you were to go to buy it in a bookshop, you're getting it for £10. All right. So we're not only free Presbyterian by name, we're also by nature. We're giving you a free fiver there. So rather than queuing up and waiting for put your name on a list, there's a wee envelope there inside each book. You can put your money into that envelope, and you can either give it back directly to Kyle or just put it in the box as you leave at another time. But please do consider taking that for yourself or maybe for someone other, a monthly devotional that I know you will find very useful. So there's copies in the hallway and also copies at the bottom of the stairs. There are 10 altogether. If we need to get more, we can do that. We commend that book to you, please. Also, there are the copies of the missionary calendar, again, which have been put out by the Missionary Council. Take these with you as well, and they encourage you to remember to pray each day for the various missionaries, and take those with you, please. Also, the church envelopes are available today, Kyle. Yep. So the envelopes are available. See Kyle if you have any questions or queries about that. I'm not going to go through all of that again. Let's turn back now in the Word of God to the Gospel of Luke, Luke's Gospel chapter 1. Luke's Gospel chapter 1. And we do want to congratulate Kyle and Anna and little Eden on the birth of your little one, little Rosie. I know we did it last week, but now that we're all back in church,
We'll do that again. Lord bless you and be with you as a family. But let's turn to Luke's Gospel again and the chapter 1. The verse number 30 is where we want to center our thoughts upon this morning. Verse number 30. We'll be looking at other verses as well, but most particularly the words of verse number 30. It says there, "And the angel said unto her," that is unto Mary, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." The angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Can we just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer before we come to His Word? Eternal God and our Father, we pray, Lord, You'd be pleased to be with us this morning as we come around Thy Word. Teach us, instruct us, lead us and guide us, we pray. And may we know in a very real way that God is here. Oh God, we pray that we might hear the voice of God. Lord, that this day, this morning especially, that we'll hear that sweet sound of our Savior speaking to us. Be with us, we pray. Give us help to hear and instruct us, O God, we ask. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as we consider another one of the main characters in the story of the Incarnation, we find yet another troubled heart. The character of Mary here shines through, as we'll see in a moment, but she was overcome with this period of doubt and disbelief. She was overcome with a lack of faith in the message that she had just heard, how that she was going to bring forth a son. And this disbelief created fear, worry, and anxiety in her heart. You see, like all of us, Mary saw initially things from a human perspective. And she tried to work everything out from her own point of view, and as far as she was concerned, it just couldn't work. And so she lacks faith. And as a result, she becomes fearful. You see, the problem that Mary faced is a problem that we all face. It's a problem of disbelief. If we're honest, we all have, at more times than we care to think about, doubted the Word of God and doubted the promises of God. You see, it just seems too simple to be true. That when God gives us a promise, and yet we don't see it readily being fulfilled, or we consider from a human point of view that it's impossible for it to actually happen, we become fearful. Disbelief and a lack of faith that then brings fear and worry. Because our human reasoning tells us that it's not possible. And we discount the power of God. Such was the case in the life of Mary. As we consider another one of these fear nots of Christmas, we see it here, therefore, in the context of a result of fear because of unbelief. Doubting what God has said. I want you to see, first of all, here in the life of Mary, that there is a pure servant. A pure servant. You see, once again, as with Joseph, we have Mary here as a shining example of purity and holiness and godliness. Mary was a woman of morality. She was a woman of her uprightness. Mary was not some sort of loose-living woman. Let's notice something more about her. Notice the standards of her life. Verse 27. She is described there to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Mary was a young woman with standards, moral standards. Now, we've already seen that in the life of Joseph. He was an upright man, but so too was Mary, an upright woman. A woman of standards. Can I just take a moment to speak here to our young people? Mary and Joseph were brought together. They both had very high standards, morally and scripturally. And to our young people, you're searching for life's partner. Look out a partner in life who has high moral standards.
who has standards that are according to the Word of God and not according to the prevalence of the world. Look out a partner in life that has standards, biblical standards. You see, Joseph and Mary were brought together because they both had high moral standards, spiritual standards. They both believed in the sanctity of marriage. They both believe that sexual relationships are for marriage and not before marriage. Mary was a woman with standards. She was a woman living in Nazareth, an ungodly place, a city with very few standards. Yet Mary didn't allow the pollution of that city to pollute her life. She didn't allow the loose living of others to dictate how she lived her life. Mary had standards, and she stuck by them. Harry Ironside, a commentator speaking of Mary, said that when God chose a young woman for the high honor of becoming the mother of the Savior, He did not take some frivolous, worldly girl living in carelessness, and as he describes it, enjoying a butterfly existence. He chose a pure, lovely young woman who was delighting in doing the will of God and ever sought to be subject to His Word. God uses clean vessels. Mary was such an individual. The standards of her life. Not only the standards of her life, but notice well the statement about her life. In verse 28, it says, "Hail, thou art highly favored." Now that term, highly favored, there comes from an original Greek word which simply means grace. Grace. Mary's life was marked by grace. Highly favored. That does not mean that she had any more grace than any other, but more than that, her life was marked by grace. She had received much grace because grace marked her attitude and her approach to life. She was the object of much grace from God because of the way she lived. And you see, this high moral standard that she lived by, as a result of that, she experienced the grace of God, much grace from God. The two will always go together. When we seek to do right and live by right by God, God will always bless such godly, upright living. What a statement. Thou art highly favored. The right way of living brings with it much grace in a life. Not only was the statement here that her life was marked by the grace of God, but I want you to see as well that the statement also says that her life was marked by the presence of God. Look at verse 28 again. "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee." What a statement. What a statement to be made about the life of this young woman. A young woman who was probably obscure, unknown in society, and perhaps even frowned upon because of the morality that she sought to live by and the standards that she had. And yet she has this testimony that she is highly favored, but the Lord is with her. She may have been unknown, she may have been obscure, but what a blessing to know that the Lord was with her. She had the Lord with her. We read over in verse number 48 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. It says, "Therefore he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." She was unknown. She wasn't any big shot in Nazareth by any means. She was unknown, she was of low estate, but she had the Lord with her. Dear believer today, it doesn't matter who we don't have with us, as long as we have the Lord with us. The hymn writer says, in land or store, I may be poor. And my name unknown and my place obscure, of this I have the witness sure, oh bless the Lord, I have Jesus. And listen today, it doesn't matter who we don't have, as long as we have the Lord with us. The Lord is with thee. This statement of her life, she's highly favored. Her life is marked by the grace of God. Her life is marked by the presence of God. Why was Mary so blessed? Because she had the greatest of all blessings, the presence of God. Notice the end of verse 28. It says, blessed art thou among women. Notice that little word, among women, there. Church of Rome would elevate Mary above woman and above everybody else. But the Scripture says that she's blessed among women, as part of other women. There she is, standing in this dark, sinful city, in this dark, sinful place, and yet her life in such a place, in the midst of other women, is marked by the grace of God and marked by the presence of God. What a statement. What a statement to be made concerning our life. I wonder if the Lord were to write verse 28 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, of us, what would he say? Is our life marked by much grace? Is our life marked by much of the presence of God? Mary made a statement by her life. Do you know many today want to make a statement by their life? And many will go out of their way to make a very bold statement. And many will go out of their way to make a very defiant statement. By the way they live, by the attitude they have, by the standards that they have. And they have no interest in standards or morality. But by the way they live, they want their life to be made a statement. Mary, why not deliberately doing so, she wanted her life to make a statement that she loved the Lord and she abided by the standards of God's word. She's insignificant in the eyes of this world, yet by her godliness and by her grace, she made a statement that she's living by God's standards and not the world's standards. She was a pure servant. Not only a pure servant here, but I want you to see as well, secondly, that there is a perplexed spirit. When we come into verse number 29, we read, when she saw him, that is the angel, she was troubled at his saying. She was troubled, she was perplexed. The sight and the sound of the angel troubled her soul. She was troubled by the announcement. The announcement was that she was going to conceive in her womb, verse 31, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. In an instant, her life was turned upside down. In many ways, all of her dreams from a human point of view were shattered by this news. Her life was altered. She was going to have a child. This was not how it was supposed to happen. But greater than that, I want you to see how in verse 34, she asked this question, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? How shall this be? She couldn't reason in her mind, how all this would happen. She had received this message from the Lord. She was going to conceive. She'd bring forth a son.
But she says, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? You see, in the natural way of things, this was an absolute impossibility, that she could have a child. And so it led to fear and worry, because humanly speaking, it was impossible. Now, I don't want to get into the virgin birth of Christ, but it is one of the cardinal doctrines and truths of our faith. But how often are we like Mary? How often have we read promises in the Word of God? How often have we received a word from God? And the Lord has made clear His will and His mind to us on a certain matter. The Lord has given us great clarity, and yet it seems too good to be true. And we wonder, how is this going to happen? And like Mary, we doubt the Word of God, we doubt the message of God, and we say, how shall this be? How shall this be? How many times have we asked the Lord that question? Lord, I have your word, I have your promise, but how shall this be? We want to trust God, and we know we should trust God, but we just can't understand how it's all going to work out. That was where Mary was. I remember when the Lord called me into full-time service. Remember that day, like yesterday. Remember clearly. Remember taking the Word of God, and I had asked the Lord for a very clear, precise word, and it had to be clear. And the Lord gave me a clear word in Mark 1:17, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. I knew that was the word that I needed to hear. I knew that was the word that was giving me clear direction in my life and for my future. It was the word I was looking for, but then I couldn't work out how it was all going to work out. I had a business. I had a family. How can I give up all of this and still provide for my family? Where would all of this take us? And I have to be honest, like Mary, I said, how shall this be? That doubt led to fear, because from a human point of view, it just didn't seem to be able to be worked out. And yet the Lord had it all worked out. Dear believer, today, maybe the Lord has given you a promise, given you a word, perhaps for a situation that you're in, perhaps for a loved one that you've been praying for, and you have that word and you have that promise. Stand on that promise. Believe that promise. And let the Lord work it all out, Himself and in His own time. Maybe you're here this morning and like Mary, you have a perplexed spirit. You're fearful about some matter in your life. You're anxious. How is this going to work out? You don't doubt the power of God. No, you don't doubt the ability of God or what He has said to you. But like Mary, and like we all do, we reason the natural with the supernatural, and it doesn't work. Because remember, the words that we read at the end of verse 37, or in verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. It was a human impossibility for Mary to have a child. But with God, all things are possible. The announcement in this perplexed spirit. But I want you to see as well the antidote for this perplexed spirit. What was the remedy? What was the antidote? It was the Word of God, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. What beautiful words this morning. What blessed words. I would doubt if there's not someone here today, and if not right now, but perhaps in recent days or in recent weeks, you've been fearful. You've been anxious, you've been worried about some situation. Here's the Lord coming Here's the antidote. Here's the remedy. Fear not. What beautiful words. Notice how personal they are. Fear not, Mary. Believer, today you can put your name in there. And whatever it is that's troubling you, whatever it is that's causing you anxiety and worry, the Lord will come to you and say, fear not. You see, the Lord has an interest in your cares and your troubles. The Lord is not aloof from the concerns and the situations that you're going through. The Lord knows all about them. And He comes to you today and says, fear not. Personally. Notice why Mary was not to fear. Look at verse 30. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. That word favor there just means grace as well. What is grace? Grace is the unmerited, undeserved love of God. Where did she find this grace? She found it in the Lord. Where was this grace displayed? The grace of God in its fullness is always displayed in salvation. Do you know what the angel was reminding Mary of? Do you know what the Lord's reminding you, dear believer, of this morning? Why you should not fear? Because you're His child. You found favor with God. You know and love Jesus Christ as your Savior. He saved you. He has forgiven your sins. You are His child. He is your Father. He will care for you. He will provide for you. He will meet your need. And so He says to you today, fear not. He says to you, dear believer, today, I've got you. I've got a hold of you. He has you in His hand. He has you in His heart. And there's nothing going to happen to you or I outside of the will of God. Mary needed to be reminded that she was a child of God. And how often do we need to be reminded as well that we're loved by God? That God loves us. God will take care of us. And God will be with us and God will bring us through. 1 John chapter 4 in the verse 18 we read that fear hath torment. And that's true, isn't it? But it also says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear. And whenever we are reminded that we are loved with a perfect love, we're loved with an everlasting love, we're loved with an unchanging love, that God loves us too much to forsake us, that God loves us too much to allow anything that will not be for our good to happen to us. That God loves us too much that He will never allow us to shed a needless tear or bear a needless burden. Remember this morning, you're loved with a perfect love. Love that never changes. You're His child. And no matter how hard or difficult the situation may be, He still loves you and He will look after you. The Lord was reminding Mary, fear not, because I'm your Father, you're my child, I will care for you. Thank God this morning we have a Heavenly Father who knoweth that we have need of all these things. There is the antidote. There's the announcement in this perplexed spirit, but I want you to see as well, in verse 38, there is the acceptance. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Mary didn't know how this was going to work out. She'd just been told this news. She'd never heard of such a thing before. She didn't know how it was going to work out. But she was going to trust the Lord. She accepted the will of God for her life. It was going to bring her shame. No doubt she was going to be the object of worship, or of ridicule and gossip, but she was going to accept the will of God. Now, folks, this morning, doing the will of God and accepting the will of God, it's never the easy option. It's never the easy option. The easy option for Mary would have been to say, "No thanks, not me." But Mary accepted what the will of God was for her life, hard and difficult though it be. Doing God's will is never the easy option, but it's always the best option. And as she did so, grace and favor were poured out into her life. She wasn't going to reject the will of God or question the will of God, but in simple faith, she was just going to submit herself to God's will for her life. She believed God. She took the Lord at His word and she simply trusted and obeyed. Listen, let's remember today. We do not, while we are on this earthly journey, we do not live by sight. We do not know what tomorrow will bring, what next week will bring, what up ahead in our lives will bring. We don't live by sight. We live by faith. We don't know what lies ahead, but the Lord knows. Because He's had planned all out ahead of us. That's why we can trust Him. That's why we can obey Him. There's a pure servant here. There's a perplexed spirit. But finally, as we close, I want you to see that there's a praising soul. Mary was reminded of the grace of God in her life. Mary was reminded that grace had been extended to her. She was highly favored. She had found favor with God. She heard the fear not of the Lord, and she went from being a perplexed spirit to a praising soul. We don't have time to look at it, but from verse 46 on, there is what is known as Mary's Magnificat, her song of praise. Look at some of those parts of the song very quickly with me as we close this morning. Verse 46. This song, it included glory to the Lord. Verse 46. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Her life brought glory to the Lord. Verse 48. It also included gratefulness to the Lord. For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. He hath regarded. She was thankful that the Lord regarded her estate. She was thankful that the Lord had an interest in her. Verse 50, this song was also full of the grace of God, and His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. It's also full of the adoration of the Lord. Verse 51, He hath showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud and the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent away, empty away. He hath holpen His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. Here is Mary worshiping the Lord for all that the Lord has done. What was it that brought peace to this troubled heart? What was it that brought this woman from being a perplexed spirit to now being a praising soul? It was the Word of God and the reminder of the grace of God in her life. Whenever you are in any sort of trouble, it's a word from God that you need to hear first and foremost. It's the Word of God that you need to run to. It's the Word of God that you need to get to. Because it's still the words of the Master that still the troubled heart and soothe the pained soul. In your trouble, there is a word from you in His word. In your pain, there is a word that will soothe you. Fear not, Mary. Mary remembered the grace of God which abounded toward her. She remembered the grace of God that continues to abound toward her. She remembered that she was a child of God, that the Lord was her Father, and that He would care and provide for her even when she couldn't understand it. Mary faced an impossible situation. A situation that was humanly impossible. And yet she came to that place where she simply trusted God. And she had faith in Him. Fear not. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And perhaps this morning you face an impossible situation in your life, in your home, in your family. And you do not know how you're going to get through. The Lord's word to you today is, fear not, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. There is nothing impossible to the Lord today. No matter how difficult or how hard it may seem to you, there is nothing that our Lord cannot do. Therefore, fear not. Dear child of God, He loves you. He cares for you. He provides for you. He will see you through. He loves you. He's not going to let go of you. He will keep you. And He will meet your need. Therefore, fear not. May the Lord bless His word.